Let me say again, if you've not had an opportunity to read that 911 call, you ought to do it. And Todd Beamer at the end asked the operator to pray with him. And that's when he said, let's roll. And they went and really saved lives by the fact that they gave their own lives. And it's just so touching. So I don't want you to ever forget 9/11, but I especially don't want you to forget this, you know, what we have here. I've mentioned many times that as I'm driving down, I've got about 45 minutes that I drive down from home during the day. And I listen to religious stations, and I listen to messages by a variety of preachers. And not long ago, of course, sometimes I hear illustrations that I want to pick up and other things that I want to kind of grasp and pull out of that. But I was riding along, and David Jeremiah was speaking. And he was talking about a series that he was going to do that was entitled 10 Questions That Christians Are Asking. And I thought it was interesting, and I found out that he had a book on that. So I purchased the book and, you know, started reading it. And I thought, you know, there are things that in there that I disagree with him on, we'd be a little at odds with. But the premise of it is really good. And so if you'll bear with me, I'd like to just extract some of those, pick and choose various ones to talk about, understanding that some we've already covered. Back when we were talking about, you know, worry and various things like that. But so just bear with me. Sure, I'm going to pull some things out of his book and as well as a lot of other sources that I've looked at. And so today we're going to look at caution one way. Caution one way. Folks, in this pluralistic society, can't get the word out, people seem to be comfortable and with the very idea that no one religion has the corner on truth and that there are many ways to heaven. And that is now if heaven really exists. So let me ask you this morning, how many ways are there to God? I mean, that's an important question, isn't it? Because, you see, it's important because just almost everyone wants to, you know, or believes in God. And it's important because almost everyone, you know, wants to have a relationship with God. And so, again, how many ways are there to God? Well, let's look at what Jesus says about the issue. In John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And Lee Strobel, I've mentioned him many times. I've quoted things out of his book. Just a reminder, Lee Strobel was a journalist as well as he was an atheist. And before he came to Christ, he said that there was one verse of Scripture that he disliked above all the other verses of Scripture. And that was John 14:6. And he said this. He said, this was the statement I found most offensive. And again, remember, before he came to Christ, he says, it's one thing to claim to be a way to God, but the way? That sounds intolerant. Now, through his study, you know, and all the things in his attempts to, you know, disprove Christianity, we know he came to Christ, and so he feels quite differently now. He's, as we've said before, he's written the book, The Case for Christ, and The Case for Faith, and there are other cases, if you will, that he's done. And so, again, how many ways are there to God? Well, in the text today, Jesus answers that question for Thomas, Philip, as well as ourselves. And you need to understand that these words were uttered on the night that he was betrayed and the night before he was crucified. From John 13 to John 17, John describes what happened that night and what Jesus said. And chapter 13, we find that's the time in the upper room where he washes the disciples' feet, they partake of the Lord's Supper, and then they discuss who would betray. And then we come to chapter 14, and as you all know, that begins with a very beautiful promise, doesn't it? Now, normally I'd quote this out of the King James, but today I want to read it to you out of the New International Version. It says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. My Father's house has many mansions. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." Now, that little verse there, the last verse I read, verse 4, where he says, "You know the way to the place where I am going," that prompted the questions in the minds of the disciples. And verse 5, Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way?" Now, we don't know a lot about Thomas. I mean, he seemed to be a very loyal disciple of Jesus Christ. But we also find that he was a man full of doubts, wasn't he? I mean, we see that often in Scripture. And Jesus has spoken of the Father's house and the many rooms and the fact that he's gone to prepare a place. And Thomas is eager to go to that place. But how? And Jesus answers the question. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So this morning, I want us to look at what Jesus said. We want to kind of break it down. First of all, he said, "I am the way." And understand, this is one of the seven I am statements that you'll find concerning Christ in the gospel according to John. And notice here, he does not say, "I will show you the way." He says, "I am the way." He's the way. He's the one and only way that fallen man can get back to the Father. And folks, that is non-negotiable. That's why I entitled this sermon, "Caution, One Way." Just like he's saying here, there's only one way. But just as Lee Strobel, before he became to Christ, said, you know, he says that it's arguably the most unpopular statement from the lips of Jesus. That's hard for us to believe, isn't it? A speaker, an author, and a coach for the Foundation for Excellence, Steve McSwain, said that he was asked all the time if Jesus was the only way to heaven. He's the only way to God. And here's his answer. He says, "He is my way to God. Is he the only way? I don't think so. And do not bother to point to John 14:6 as a proof text that Jesus himself said he was the only way to God. John 14:6 may be the most abused and misused verse of Scripture in the 21st century. And folks, that's the majority view of today's society, is it not? Let me quote a great theologian, Oprah Winfrey. Oprah Winfrey said, "One of the biggest mistakes humans make is to believe there is only one way. Actually, there are many diverse paths leading to what you call God. That's a great theologian. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I was kind of thumbing through the internet trying to find others. I found one where Joel Osteen said that there were other ways. Even found one where the Pope said there were other ways, many ways. And it kind of boggles the mind, doesn't it? I mean, when you read Scripture and you read this passage of Scripture, it becomes evident that there's only one way. And without the way to heaven, we're hopelessly lost. But Jesus is the way. Let me read what a minister said about it, James Merritt. He said, Jesus said the way to heaven is not a principle, not a practice, not a precept, and not a philosophy. The way to heaven is a person. We can try to keep the golden rule and all the Ten Commandments. We can go to church, study our Bibles, pray, and give lots of money to charity. And all of that would be great, but all of that would be all put together would not pave one brick on the way, on the road to heaven. Jesus is the way. And if you're going any other way, you're going the wrong way. Peter said in Acts the 4th chapter, the 12th verse, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus. Now let me read that from the Living Bible. Listen to what it says. It says that God is on one side and all the people on the other side, and Christ Jesus himself, man, is between them to bring them together. A little simpler interpretation of what Paul wrote there in 1 Timothy 2:5. And Hebrews 10:20 calls this a new and living way open for us through the curtain that is his body. I mean, Jesus restored our relationship with God, didn't he? I mean, you and I are no longer aliens or strangers. You know, we are in this world because this world is not our home. But we're not aliens and strangers to God. And through Christ, the way, we have been reconciled to God. And understand again, and I know we've talked about it many times, I mean, it cost him everything, didn't it? I mean, Jesus, as Paul talks about, left everything. He didn't see that he needed to hold on to it all. Instead, he came to earth, he lived amongst us, and he died for us. And it gave us a way back to God. Back in the 1950s, 1960s, Mickey Mantle and Yogi Berra played for the New York Yankees, and they became friends. And one day, Yogi Berra said to Mantle, why don't you come over to my apartment? And so Mantle agreed, and he was on his way, but he got lost. And so he stopped at a telephone, a payphone. Remember those things? And he called Yogi Berra, and he said, you know, I don't know where I am. Where is your apartment? And Yogi Berra says, where are you now? He said, well, I'm at the corner of 5th, and Main. And Yogi Berra said, well, you keep coming this direction, and he hung up. I mean, if you know any stories about Yogi Berra, you understand that. Now, how helpful were those directions? Not very helpful, were they? And why weren't they helpful? Well, simply because Mickey Mantle still didn't know the way. And since he didn't know the way, Mickey Mantle was still lost. Well, Jesus came to show us the way. And in fact, he says, I am the way to the Father. Accept me. Follow me. Come through me. And you don't have to search any longer. I mean, Jesus came and gave us the way. And there's no other way to God but through Jesus Christ, who is the way. Now, he didn't only say that he was the way. He said he was the truth. I mean, remember when Jesus was standing before Pilate and he said, everyone on the side of truth listens to me. And Pilate uttered that proverbial words and, what is truth? What is truth? Well, John writes in John 1:14, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:17, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. John 8:32, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. John 8:46, can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I'm telling the truth, why don't you believe me? John 17:17, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And then John 18:37. Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. I mean, you read all of that and you understand that Jesus is absolute truth, isn't he? He is truth. And if you want to know the truth about God, then you must come to Christ. You must come through Christ because he alone is truth. And folks, truth is not a relative thing. I mean, it's not a relative thing. It's not according to how people view things. I mean, it is set. It's not subject to change. I mean, we can't have my truth and have your truth, can we? I mean, we can't have those. So David Jeremiah, in his book, quotes John Phillips, who said this, truth is always exclusive, always dogmatic, always intolerant of non-truth. Excuse me. Otherwise, it would not be truth, eternal and absolute. And then he continued and he said, since Jesus is truth, he excludes all error, no matter how popular, widespread, ancient, or convincing it may be. You see what he's saying? He's saying that Jesus is the embodiment of truth. I mean, he is truth personified. And everything else, all the other ways are false. In logic, there's a principle called the law of exclusion. And it says very simply that something can't be A and non-A at the same time. I mean, if something's an apple, it can't be a chair, and it can't be even a plum. And so when Jesus says, I am the truth, he taught us that he not only taught us that truth is absolute, but that truth is knowable. It's knowable. And again, John 8:32 says, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I mean, truth reality is found in Jesus Christ and no one else. No one else. And I think we've got to see this. And not to believe in Jesus Christ is to believe a lie. It is to believe something false. Something that will be discovered in the end to be false when it's too late. Now, in the Old Testament, we have promises, don't we? In Christ, we have fulfillment. And there are so many out there, you know, with so espousing different beliefs and different ways and different views. And probably every one of them has a little kernel of truth in it, you know, but just a little. But in Christ, we have all truth. And we need to, understanding that you and I are the possession of this truth, then it's up to us to share it, isn't it? It's up to us to share it in a loving and compassionate way. Mahatma Gandhi said, I like their Christ. I don't like their Christians. Friedrich Nietzsche said, I will believe in the Redeemer when the Christian looks a little more redeemed. And someone else said, the fact that we Christians fail doesn't make Jesus less true, but shame on us if it is our arrogance that keeps them from listening. Well, Jesus says he is the way, he is the truth, and then he says he is the life. I mean, Jesus is also life. He gives us the power and the strength to live the life that leads to heaven. And eternal life is something only to be found in trusting Christ. It's only found in trusting Christ. And it's not simply that he gives his life to us, but he is the source of life, isn't he? He's the source of our life. And apart from him, there is no life. Only decay and death and judgment. I mean, other religions say, you know, they can say to us, this is how you ought to live. But they cannot say, here's life. They can't say that. They can't say, come to me and, you know, I'll give you life. I've got life in myself to give you. I mean, folks, by nature, we are not only on the road to heaven, we're ignorant of where that road is. That's the way it is outside of Christ. And in ourselves, we have no life to enable us to find and travel that road. But Jesus is life. And we become alive to God by receiving life from him. And folks, we realize there are many today that are dead to God. I mean, they're outside of Christ. They're dead in their trespasses and their sins, and they need to be told about Jesus Christ, who is life and is the great life giver. And it's as we see that Jesus is the truth that we come to understand that he is the life and also that he's the way to heaven. John 1:4 says, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. John 3:16 says, whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John 4:14 says, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. John 5:21. The Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. John 5:40, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. And then John 6:35, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And we could go on and on with scriptures, could we? I mean, we could keep talking about it. You see, Christ came to free us from death. Now, understand, I'm not talking about physical death, am I? Because the scripture says what? It's appointed unto man once to die. Every one of us is on the road to death. That is, unless Jesus Christ returns. Every one of us will die the physical death. But what he's talking about here, he has freed us from spiritual death. He has freed us from the second death. That we might be there with God. And that's the truth. David Jeremiah in his book says, Jesus didn't come into this world simply to invigorate our sinful nature. He didn't come just to refine the ugliness in our life. He didn't come to put a new suit on a corpse. He came to raise us from the kingdom of death to the kingdom of life. Someone said, Christianity is exclusive. It proclaims one ultimate problem of humanity, sin. One ultimate need in humanity, salvation. One ultimate savior for humanity, Jesus. It levels the playing field among all people by announcing that all are equally in need for the same savior. But here's the kicker. Christianity's proclamation of exclusivity, one savior for all people, is also his proclamation for inclusivity, one Savior for all people. Christianity, then, is both the most inclusive and the most exclusive religion because Jesus invites all people, and it all hinges on Jesus. It all hinges on Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And all these other people that are giving all these false messages to people out there are leading them further and further and further astray, folks. And we're allowing it to happen. You know, we need to put our 2 cents in, don't we? I mean, we need to bring the truth. I mean, he's given us the truth. He's told us who he is. He's shown us who he is. And he's given us the truth. He's given us the way. He's given us the life. And understand something, he is the only way. That's why caution one way. People need to understand that. There are not many ways to God. There's only one. He didn't send a bunch of people down here to die for your sins, did he? He sent one. And that's why Matthew 7, 13 and 14 says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." That's tragic, isn't it? I mean, even when Jesus Christ was on earth, not everybody believed him, not everybody accepted him, did they? I mean, in fact, the biggest majority didn't. And the same thing is still true today. That's why that scripture is there. It tells us that. I mean, it is so clear, it's so plain, and we see it. But again, when we understand that Jesus is the way, he's that narrow road, isn't he? I mean, he's that small gate. Jesus said what? He's the only door to the sheep pen. That's the only way to get in. And if you try to get in any other way, one, you're not going to be welcomed. You're not going to be accepted. And you're going to be lost. Almost persuaded. Almost, but lost, isn't it? It just doesn't work. Jesus Christ came, gave his life, and that's why he was able to say he knew where he was heading, didn't he? He knew the cross was before him. I mean, there in John 14, as he says it, he knows that the next day, that he's going to die. Even though he cried in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, "Take this cup from me, it's always not my will, but your will." I mean, even his own flesh cried out. His humanity cried out to get away from it. "But not my will, but your will." And he was nailed on the cross and rose from the dead and fulfilled the way, didn't he? Paved the way. And that's why all of us who are Christians this morning, you know, we're on the way. We're on the way to heaven. But there are a lot of people who aren't. And that's why having the truth, folks, we can't afford to hold on to it. If I had the cure for cancer today, would it be right for me not to share it? Wouldn't be right at all. And each of you have the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Each of you have been bought by his sin, his going to the cross for your sin. Each one of you has a responsibility. You've got this treasure that you're supposed to share. And if you're here this morning and you've never accepted Christ, then let me tell you, you need to now. There are no guarantees in this life. Todd Beamer was a young man, had two small children. His wife was in Chicago. He had I think she was getting ready to have another child. But he knew what his end was going to be, and he wanted God to be there with him. Folks, everybody needs to know the Lord, don't they? Everybody. And let's help them know. Let's help them know that Jesus Christ died for them. Jesus Christ loves them, just like he loves us. He's called us out of darkness into light. But he's also called us to witness, to serve, to be the kind of Christians that we should be, because we have the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. If you need to make a decision this morning, why don't you make it as we stand and sing?